All right. Hey, Tyler, can you hear us okay? All right. Hey, Tyler, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. I can. Let me get you spotlighted here for everyone. All right. And we are now joined by Tyler Ruddick, who was the fastest Chevrolet in practice in the number 31 for Jordan Anderson Racing. So Tyler, we're going to get right into questions for you, and we will kick things off with Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Tyler. So you were here in December. How different is with the curbing and everything they put in the track, how different is it than what you kind of raced in 4 or 5 months ago?
Bob, honestly, it's very, very similar. You know, I think the curbing itself, when it's repainted, for when we came to town, here this week, I think it kind of changed the grip level of the curbing itself. You know, other than that, the track is very, very similar. Yes. The turtles are out there well beyond the inside of what the ideal apex is. I think for these stock cars that are pretty low to the ground, if you hit those, I don't even know what to call them, but they're kind of like a speed bump, a sharp one that really puts a lot of emphasis on the corner, the edge, that is closest to the white and red curbing. You're going to just destroy your race car or tear something up underneath. So it's important to stay away from that. So, you know, for the most part, it's the same track, I think. You know, I did the track walk this morning and I learned a lot more about it. Walking it on foot, there's a lot of elevation change. We all know that, but when you're walking it in person, you really get to learn it. And I learned that the sun down here in Texas is not too friendly to my skin. So I'm really burnt today and hot.
and
losing my headset.
Is there anything that you feel like they need to do, like as far as any of the curbing or anything in the track? You know, it's the first time you guys are on it. So is there anything that NASCAR needs to do for either a safety reason or any other reason that you can tell?
You know, honestly, I understand why they put the yellow turtle curbings that they've been called in the S's, but you know, we have enough cameras to kind of police it. You know, the curbings will just, I guess, make it a much bigger penalty for the drivers that do somehow end up way down in there. The unfortunate part is though, you know, if an incident happens, there's not a lot of options to escape to the inside of the corners, especially like in the S's. But around the rest of the racetrack, I mean, there's a lot of runoff, yes, but we're racing in pretty heavy cars that don't have the center corner speed that a lot of the other vehicles and race cars that race here at COTA, you know, that they have. So, you know, the runoffs and the room that we do have on it, on the exits do, you know, we do use more of them because we are trying to get the power down, and accelerate harder and just don't have the grip that they do. So, I don't know, safety wise, I don't think there's any safety issues and we need to add any for that reason. But, you know, obviously I don't think you want, people to get advantages from, you know, cutting certain corners. And I think the ones that they were worried about that happening in, they put those big yellow curbs in.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Bob.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Claire B. Lang. Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you, Tyler. How much, you know, were you working on qualifying or how much were you working on race setup and how much did you really get out of this practice? You guys are pros, but man, it goes by so fast.
Yeah, Claire, we honestly, the plan for Jordan Anderson Racing and our Bomarito Auto Group Chevrolet was to just go out there and just make sure the car wasn't hitting the racetrack. You know, they're a smaller team. They don't have quite the extent of simulation that, you know, team like RCR that I race at full time. So for them, it's a lot harder to ask to the team and it's a much bigger ask of them to have the car exactly perfect and know without a doubt that they're going to be able to go out there and first lap on the track, go at full speed and not have something, you know, hit the ground or whatever it is. So our plan was just to go out there and make sure the car was driving good. Nothing was hitting in the wrong spots. The car was driving very good. And we weren't really set up for qualifying anything like that. We just wanted to get laps and make sure the car did everything that I was hoping it would do, and that I wasn't going to over abuse, you know, the tires, the brakes, and that, you know, the car could keep up with what I was asking of the brake pedal too. So we're just trying to get as many laps as we could, and that ended up only being 9. There was one situation there where there was like a lap or two where there was a lot of fluid getting put down, and I thought I locked the tire up and it cost us probably 3 or 4 laps. But you know, with this being their best car and the backup car not really being on the same level as what this car is, and putting so much effort into this one car to qualify in, we just didn't want to take the risk of having a damaged tire and tearing this race car up for tomorrow.
So how much does this help you to get the rhythm for Sunday and for the cup side of things? And then what's your observation about what kind of a race you think it will be given the short shot on the track?
Of the Xfinity race or just the racing this weekend in general?
Yeah, general.
Oh man, it's going to be something. I was very excited about what the racing would look like here in stock cars. And so far, it's met my expectations. I think it's going to be very, very easy to overstep the limit going into the corners. I did it myself when my signer was behind me. So the drivers like me, like, you know, others that don't have a lot of road racing experience, you have to be very smart to not overstep the entry and blow through a corner, lock a tire up, or go off the track. So it's going to be very intense battling, very intense racing. You know, there's some sections here where the drivers, as far as I'm aware of, are going to be kind of on their own spotting themselves. And, you know, there's a lot of tight corners here. So it's going to really look like in a lot of these corners that the guy ahead is leaving the door open for the guy behind to drive it on in there. And that's just, you got to apex really late here to get a good launch on exit with the limited grip that we have with all this power that we got in these Xfinity cars. And it's going to make for some exciting action. I would say you're going to see some things you don't see at other road courses. That's for sure.
Sounds like fun. Thanks a lot for your time. Okay.
I hope it's fun. I hope we're on that side of it.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey Tyler. I know as fast as you guys were today, is there any concern about the weather tomorrow? It looks like it's continuing to deteriorate again.
Yeah. You know, it was one of the last things we talked about before getting in the race car and getting started with practice. And you know, I got called over here to talk to you guys, which is great. And I had not had a chance to look at weather again, but it's something we're paying a real close eye on. And, with the amount of rubber that this track is laying, so far here today, it is going to be pretty interesting to see what the track is going to be like grip wise for qualifying, tomorrow. And what is the Lamborghini cars and the rubber that they're going to lay down, what is it going to do laid on top of our Goodyear rubber? We laid down a lot of rubber. I know those cars were out there putting some rubber down, but it seemed like a lot of tire rubber getting laid down, and that is going to spell for some interesting if wet qualifying conditions. So man, I go every time I go to GoPro Motorplex Justin Marks track and run a rental car, I'm so bad in the rain. So I hope it's nothing like a go-kart in the rain.
Thanks, Tyler.
No problem.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, Tyler, with the point situation that Jordan's in, and you're sort of, you know, he's trusting you with this car and this team, do you have to change your mindset at all? Like, do you have to back it down or try to finish the race in a way like you were talking about for practice today?
Well, I mean, so my mindset for practice and race were a good bit different from one another. You don't want to go out there and crash a race car in practice. As I said, this is the best car they got. This is their good car. They put all their effort into this car, but it's important to go out there and test the limitations of the car and make sure that if we got a weak spot in something that we have the opportunity to adjust it, fix it, replace it, whatever it might be, you know, part wise and have it better for tomorrow. But yeah, if it's going to be wet and a wild race like that, you know, I mean, your risk versus reward and what you have to scale back, just purely in the wet conditions is enough for me to, I guess, pull the reins back. For them, you know, they got to get points. And I think if it does rain and we do have a lot of things go that direction, the guys and the teams that run perfect races, mistake-free races, even if they're a second or two off the pace, lap after lap, they're probably going to outrun the guys that spin off the course and get stuck in a sand trap or damage their car or whatever else. So we'll just have to be smart about how we race. And I realize that points are very important to these guys in this team. And, you know, I'm here to learn for myself, obviously, but I made it very clear to Jordan, like, you know, the number one priority here is to score points for this team and to get them back to being locked in on Saturdays and racing in the Xfinity Series. So, you know, that comes first before any personal gains that I will get out of this.
Thanks, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. No problem, Jeff.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Marissa. Tyler, following up from Jeff's.
Hey, you couldn't help yourself. You just had to, huh? I'm talking to Austin. Sorry. I was like, yeah, there. I got P1. I'm like, yeah, all right. And then I'm like, oh, so you saw me do that. I was like, okay, I know where to put it now. It's fun though, huh? Oh, I know. It's crazy. All right. Sorry, guys. Austin walked in. I had to talk to him.
It's all good. You said you're trying to learn. Following up from Jeff, though, that's got to inspire some confidence and be, you know, important to you, too, that Jordan's putting faith in you as far as the goal of going out and knowing that you can be a guy that can get points for them and run as well as you have.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I don't have a good track record on road courses in the 9 car with Junior Motorsports. I pretty much destroyed every piece that is possible to destroy on a car almost every single time we hit the racetrack. And so when you look at it like that, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I've put a lot of emphasis in trying to become better at road course racing, what it takes to not make the poor decisions and, you know, what techniques I need to be working on, what things I have to think about, you know, now that become habits that become second nature on road courses that I just start doing. And it's been a fun process that's, you know, been going on since well, even before the off season this past year started. So it was great to get this opportunity and for him to put the trust in me to be able to go out there and be aggressive, but you know, trust in me to be smart and make the right decisions to get them points.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tyler. We will let you go and best of luck to you in qualifying tomorrow and the race as well as on Sunday.
Thank you very much. Hope we stay dry.
Yes, we hope so. All righty. And we are now joined by Austin Sindrick. Let me get him spotlighted here. Austin, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
Awesome. Well, we are going to get right into questions for you as our fastest Ford in NASCAR Xfinity Series practice at COTA. So we will get started and let's kick things off with Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Austin, a couple questions. Number one, what were your first impressions of the course today? And number two, how do you think those impressions may or may not change if you wake up tomorrow and it's raining when you race?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a mixed bag. I mean, we obviously got more practice than the truck guys did. I kind of felt bad for those guys, as many mechanicals as that series seemed to have. But got in a lot of outs and ins for me. So I think we won the how many changes can we fit into a 50-minute practice session. So proud of my guys. You know, we haven't practiced in a while. So came with a good plan and tried to execute well. So obviously have a lot of speed in our Richmond R4 Mustang. So excited for tomorrow. A lot of unknowns. I think tire wear is going to be more than I expected, just kind of looking back at what the tire test looked like from here a couple months ago. And definitely looking forward to seeing what the limitations are. You know, when it comes to wet weather, I think this racetrack doesn't really have much of a rain line. So I don't think anyone's going to have more experience than the other guy. It's just, you know, if I'm able to get the opportunity to practice that tomorrow, in the cup car, I'll probably take full advantage of it, given that it's a factor all weekend. There's definitely a lot to learn on the car setup and as well as on my driving. So I think that definitely provides a different opportunity.
Thanks, Austin.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you for joining us, Austin. Just kind of curious, what do you think of the whole facility as a whole, the area? Have you noticed anything that they've done out of the ordinary to kind of welcome NASCAR into the Austin area?
Yeah, I mean, I think just initially, I mean, we landed this morning, so I haven't spent much time around town. But you know, look, I've always thought that this was a great addition to the schedule because of its location to downtown Austin. I think that's really exciting. I think it's the similar excitement that we should probably have for Nashville. So that's really cool. As far as I understand, you know, it's sold out for the weekend. So it's obviously great news for a first time venue for NASCAR. But otherwise it's a really challenging racetrack and should provide some great racing with our cars.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take our next question from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Austin, you kind of touched on, but did you get any sense of what tire wear and fall off is going to be?
No, that's my biggest question. It definitely seemed, looking at Lap Tracker, a lot of guys didn't get a whole lot in, you know, at least guys that I feel like we're going to have to be fighting for at the end of the race. So hard to tell. Like I said, I did a lot of outs and ins, so I didn't get too much of a read on tire life, but I'd say it's going to be similar, if not more than Road America, than what we experience in our series. I do feel like, based off of what I understand, our series is probably going to be the worst. I might be wrong. Sunday might be worse, but yet to be seen. So it's definitely going to be a challenge. The track surface is extremely abrasive. You know, I walked the track this morning and it's got a lot of age. It's a very similar kind of coarse, molded, pebbly looking surface to Homestead or Darlington. So that should obviously add a lot of strategy dynamics tomorrow and Sunday.
And is there anything that they need to do to the track or to the curbing or to anything that you saw today, just with it being the first time cars and trucks on the track? I was just curious if there's anything you feel like needs to be addressed.
I don't think so. I mean, the tracks, it's not new. It's new to us. So I think everything that they've done is kind of eliminated any massive shortcuts as far as the sausage curbs. I didn't get close to any of them. And really, you're going to have to be pretty far off the racing line to get close to any of them. So otherwise, I think they've done a good job preparing for us. I think the alternate start finish line for practice and qualifying was a great addition. So happy. It's been so long since I've had one of those. And this is like a 3.5 mile racetrack. So we're able to get a lot more done today and have lap times for it. So kudos to NASCAR for integrating that.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Claire Beline. Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you. So what are your biggest questions with a short shot of practice other than tire wear, right? You're on the track for just enough time to taste it. What's in your mind about what you still question about what you need to think about on this track?
Tire wear, who's competitive, restarts, the setup changes we did today, what to do going into tomorrow. A lot of from our side is trying not to overthink it. Obviously, we've got a fast car, but everyone's going to go to bed tonight, think about what they've done and improve. So we have to do the same. So there's definitely an urgency on my end to study all the data, all the information Ford has for us, all the information my team's gathered throughout the 50 minutes. We, like I said, we did a lot in a short amount of time. So, got to gather the data, make some conclusions. Obviously I got a busy day, Saturday tomorrow. So, hopefully we can make the right calls overnight and continue to learn throughout the day and set ourselves ahead.
So you're a pretty good road racer. You love road course racing. Let me ask you, what was the toughest part of the track for you after observing it from behind the wheel? Like, what is like, whoa, I knew it was this way, but once I actually did it.
I think our cars get affected a lot more by the bumps than, you know, most cars that I've driven outside of NASCAR. So any of the bumps and track surface changes, you know, this track's aged a lot. I've heard it sunk into the ground quite a lot since it was first built. So that there's a lot of whoops that aren't very big in some cars and are pretty effective in our cars. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway. It's something I expected, but it's always kind of the biggest difference in driving these cars, other than the fact that they're heavy and have a lot of power and not a lot of grip.
Thanks for your insight. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Austin, I'm doing a story on Scott McLaughlin, and Hovis had told me to ask you about him because I guess you guys have become friendly since he's come over. What do you like about the guy, and what do you think that American fans will like about him as they learn more about him?
Scott's easygoing. You know, I've spent a lot of time with him. I knew him while he was racing supercars for us, and he and I, you know, since the season started, it's been a lot harder, but during the off season, we did all our workouts together. So he's a hard worker. He's extremely competitive. I can tell you that he's one of the more competitive people I know. Like, if we're on the treadmill and we're running and say it's a 10 mile an hour pace and he'll look over and see him at 10 mile an hour. He's at 10 mile an hour. He'll click his up to 10.1 just so he can be going faster and further than me. So if that, that tells you all you need to know about Scott, but he's a great dude. I think he's really integrated well within the team. You know, he's close to all his guys. He's really down to earth. So I think he's done great things this year. My prediction of his first Firestone Fast 6 was correct at the Indy GP. So I was pretty pumped that he was able to get that done. And obviously he's taken to IndyCar pretty well. So I'm excited for him. And you know, it's been fun to have him part of the team in the States.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And our last question for Austin will come from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Marissa. Austin, you've got a road course acumen. Nobody's denying that. When it comes to this racetrack, are there parts of it, or does it compare to any other courses that you've driven? Is it its own animal? I mean, what does this course look like compared to some of the other road courses you've driven in your career?
I'd say it's not very similar to any other natural terrain road course in the States, at least on a large scale. And I say that, you know, it's funny because it's called Circuit of the Americas, but it's like the most European racetrack we have in the States. So I definitely feel like it has different character traits. Obviously character traits that are a lot more suited to high speed, high downforce vehicles and Formula One, IndyCar, and so on, WC. So I feel like in our cars, a lot of those corners slowed down are a lot different. So it adds a new dynamic for us. And I think you're going to see different things out of our races than you probably would have out of a Formula One race here. So I think that's something that the locals that have come out to this racetrack should be excited about. But I wouldn't say there's really anywhere else in the country quite like it. I'd say there's some places in Europe like it, but not over here.
All right, Austin. Well, thank you so much for taking some time with us. And we wish you the best of luck in qualifying and tomorrow's race.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All righty. And we will be joined by Daniel Hemrick here shortly. And as soon as he joins us, we will get started. If you know you're going to have a question for Daniel, feel free to raise your hand and get yourself in the queue so that we can get started right away.
Doing like this.
All right. Hey, Daniel, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you.
Awesome. Thank you for taking some time to talk with us. We are now joined by Daniel Hemrick, who was our fastest Toyota in NASCAR Xfinity Series practice at COTA. We will get right into questions for Daniel, and we'll kick things off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Daniel, can you just kind of explain the power steering issue, and was it totally fixed by the end of the session?
Yeah, it was fixed fairly immediately once they realized what had happened. Honestly, Dave Rogers and I haven't really even discussed it. They handled it, fixed it, and it was good to go next turn out of the garage. So I'm sure we get back to the shop, we'll figure out what happened and whatnot. But quick fix on their parts, at least maximize our time the best we could after that.
Is there any concern that just with the curbs and the bumps that things can kind of get knocked out of place more here than maybe other road courses?
I wouldn't say any more here than other road courses, right? I mean, you know, the turtles and whatnot have been the same height at the other racetracks where we've seen them. So we all know the damage they can do and the positioning where you need to put your car to cross them correctly. Just like any kind of road course racing, right, or any kind of short track racing, it's tough on equipment. So it is a battle of attrition, you know, car placement, you know, managing your stuff from your tires to your equipment to curb placement. So I don't think it's any more of an issue here than anywhere else, but something for sure that we all got to keep an eye on.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Marissa. Daniel, I know road racing isn't necessarily in your background, but what have you done over the years to improve that skill set and position yourself, particularly this year when there's a lot more road course racing in the Xfinity Series than even there's been the last few years?
Yeah, that's a good question. Short of just running legend cars and whatnot growing up during the winter heat series at Charlotte Motor Speedway, there's not a whole lot of road course background for me. But from the time I ran a truck the first time on a road course in 2015, I think we're able to put together many years in a row in the top five when I had a chance to run road course stuff. And that translated immediately to the Xfinity Series. So for whatever reason, it's always felt good and comfortable. I think road course racing kind of brings up the short track racer in all of us, right? You're chasing mechanical grip, you're chasing all the things that that you have to do to make speed and make longevity. It makes you really be precise. So I've just always enjoyed the grind and the challenge of road course racing. And as far as prepping for these places, you know, it's just really utilizing the tools that we have within TRD and the Toyota Racing family provide us. You know, everyone at Joker's Racing has so many tools to utilize. And as us drivers being able to be in the simulator as much as we are, every event, obviously we really circle the road courses because there's a lot we can work on ourselves as a driver. So just been trying to put that to use the best we can, and happy with how far I was able to come, you know, just from running sim laps here to see the gains, to come here and see how close our stuff was. It's pretty rewarding.
I know this was a short practice, but even in the laps that you got, do you feel like this is somewhat of a driver's road course, so to speak, with all the technical bits?
You know, for me, I just feel like I'm still learning every corner, right? So I don't really know how to evaluate that question yet. You know, I think like all road courses, there's times where aggression is rewarded and there's times where it hurts you. So I think it's trying to figure out where those spots are around here at COTA. I think I overstepped both sides of them. You know, I was too conservative a couple corners, too aggressive a couple corners, and vice versa. So I think you will see, though, guys that typically run good on wore out surfaces, whether it be mile and a half or short tracks, you're going to see those guys probably prevail here just from a mechanical grip standpoint. I think Dave Rogers and my guys have brought a really good probably bank Toyota Supra. So we'll see. To be seen.
All right, we'll take our next question from Claire Beeline. Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you. So, you know, drivers have had various levels of sim practice for this race. And when you came and got on the track and practiced, with your practice, what did you not expect that was different than you thought? Or what did you expect and it was exactly what you thought? You know what I mean?
You know, honestly, Claire, like I said, a lot of what we've seen inside the TRD sim is very spot on. I mean, from tire grip, you know, that's just something you're making up, right? I think this feels right. And you're trying to model that. So you're getting good data. If you're putting bad data in, you get bad data out. So I'm very proud of the development we all did. I think we all collectively had a hand as drivers of steering the ship in the right direction in that process. And as far as getting here, there are some spots that we're not quite put in the race cars where we thought we would. I say that I still need to go back and watch practice back, but I don't want to give away exactly the spots I'm talking about, but for sure not utilizing some of the racetrack like I thought we would. So I think that's just a matter of stock cars versus ground clearance and what we have and don't have. So just trying to maximize those things. I'm sure everybody's gonna be back studying the data that we were able to achieve there in that short amount of time. But yeah, it's pretty cool to see how close it all was.
And for all the fans who were watching practice, or maybe they were working and couldn't watch it, but could you describe one of the turns from behind the wheel that really sort of blew you away, that you could put them behind the wheel in your car for?
Yeah, you know, for me, I've been fortunate to do this for a while now, and you don't get a ton of sense of speed, only a few select tracks. And there was something about when we put our second set of tires on here today, and figured out kind of where that max braking zone was in the turn one. You know, I think it's 100, 150 feet of elevation uphill, and a little bit like Sonoma, turn one, as far as elevation, as far as how much you can use that hill to slow you down. But driving to the point of a little bit of flutter in your belly, right? Of, oh, this is my spot. And then you can hit the brakes. Like that's something you don't experience every week. So, very cool visual getting into turn one, and all of a sudden the racetrack crowns away and the track goes left and you feel like you've missed it every time. So a lot going on, for sure going to be an exciting spot on restarts.
Really good description. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. And our final question for Daniel will come from Anton Reskiv. Go ahead, Anton.
Thanks, Marissa. Good afternoon, Daniel. So when you first headed out to the track, what were your initial thoughts about it? What did you think about COTA in general?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was fortunate to come out here and do the press release with Toyota and here at COTA to announce them as the official pace car and the official sponsor of the weekend. So I had a chance to at least cruise around the track and see some things, but a lot of the markers and braking zones and signage have all changed since I was here that day, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So when I first rolled on, it was taking notice of that, instead of having you know, 350, 300, 250 breaking marks. Now they're 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So that was different. You know, Claire asked earlier about the sim. That was something that we didn't have in sim. It was different, which is good though, right? It kind of brings everybody back to a level playing field, but you for sure found yourself guessing. But the initial thoughts were for sure just checking all those markers out, trying to kind of refamiliarize yourself with a new place. And from then on, just trying to go make speed.
Thank you. Wishing you all the best for the remainder of the weekend.
Thank you.
All right, Daniel. Well, thank you so much for taking some time with us. And we will wish you the best of luck for qualifying in the race tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. And to all of our media, that will conclude our post-practice media availabilities for the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. We'll see you guys back on here tomorrow for NASCAR Cup Series post-practice. And as always, if you need anything, please let someone from the NASCAR communications team know. And we look forward to talking with you guys soon. Thanks.